for joining us for another episode. Today, we are with Feni Hardiwinata. She is from Indonesia. Welcome, Feni. Please tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Feni. I was born and raised in Indonesia. And then I was moving to Australia around 15 years ago with my husband and my child.
One child?
Yes, at that time, we just with one child.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many do you have in total?
A few years after we've been here, I have another one.
So
two in total, and that's it.
Okay. Too many, I say. Briefly tell us what your life was like before coming to Australia.
It's quite interesting, actually, because we were moving here when we were at our 30s. So it's pretty much our life was settled in career-wise, you know, as a family, like a small young family. So when we decided to migrate it here, it's kind of reset our button to starting point. Like we start everything from scratch. So we left everything behind, our previous life, and then just start everything from zero again.
And what exactly brought you here? What circumstances? What made you think, let's up and go?
Yeah, so it's nothing really, nothing particular on that thing. It's just like my husband and I dream to like provide a better future, more opportunities for our children. And then, but that thought is just very strong that made bring us here. But it's just, I think, the first year when we are here, we found out that our son, the first one, the eldest one, he has an autism. So it's kind of maybe it's meant to be for us to live and raise him here. As it was at that time, it's just like something not really people talking about, autism. It's very, very, it's not for a daily conversation. And then it's completely a new word for us. It's pretty challenging, but we've been here for nearly 15 years since that day, and then the journey pretty much amazing in my opinion.
So your child that was diagnosed with autism, at what age was he diagnosed? How old is he now? And what led you to, I suppose, seek a diagnosis?
Right. So he was five. So he was just starting his pre-primary when we moved here, like 3 weeks before school started. So we just found a local school and then we enrolled him. And then soon after, I think his pre-primary teacher was the first person who raised the flag. And then I think it's just because she's very experienced in her area in education. So she knew right away. I had a feeling back in my mind before we moved here. I just couldn't tell what it is. I couldn't find the name or the situation of what his situation was at that time. So, yeah, long story short, we were just following school advice how to get the diagnose. Again, because we're just a newbie here. We didn't know anything at all, let alone how to navigate, how to get assistance for him. So, yeah, we really rely on school at that time. Around 18 months after the first conversation with a teacher, then finally we got the diagnosis, the autism spectrum disorder. So it was a long and then a painful journey, in my opinion, to get that diagnosis. Because, yeah, it's just maybe because we were just new at that time. We were just a newcomer and then we didn't know anything. And then it's just like a bomb drop to us. It's just like, yeah, go get some diagnosis. You have to see pediatricians, see this professional, see that. Like, yeah, we were lost. We were lost.
I mean, you know, it's hard enough to be an immigrant and to start fresh, like you were saying, in a new country, and then to have to deal with having to navigate services and systems for a disability. What do you think helped you the most during those tough times? What carried you through? Was it just the school? Was it the support of your family? How did your family react?
At that time, actually, we didn't have support from family, to be honest. It's something not an easy subject to talk to family, to deal with that. Just between our core family, like my husband and I, is already hard enough. So, like, get other people involved in our opinion is just, like, too much. So it's just two of us. I might say it's just me, actually, because my husband was focusing on how to put food on the table, put the roof over our head, because we're just beginner.
New migrants.
Yeah, new migrants. So it was just me. But I think along the way, I found support from people in community. School, yes, is the big part of our support, but we met other people as well. And then I was introduced to like a support group. So, yeah, I rely on that support in order to get more support for my son.
And the support group, was it people from your community or was it an organized group linked to an organization? And what kind of support did they give you?
So it's more support linked to the disability itself. So I joined like parents with autistic kids, something like that. And then the big one, I think the Calparin family. Mm-hmm. So it's just regardless not only specific in autism. Mm. So it's just like we just support each other as a parent, as a carer. But for the community, I think it's another thing that is my goal now. Like, because honestly, until now, I haven't heard enough about my community, like really support for people from Indonesia with a disability. Mm. So actually that works that I want to start with KIN. That what brings me to this role now.
As an ambassador.
As an ambassador, yes.
That's great. And so since you would like to share more information and help people in your community, what skills have you found useful or have you had to learn new skills? What do you think has been beneficial for you as a carer of a child with autism?
Yeah, so a little back to my beginning years here. Like before I moved here, I was working at the industry, you might call, which is completely different to area that I'm working currently. So since I got diagnosed for my son, I decided to really find out to get more involved on this world of autism. So I started to study as a teacher assistant because, again, I was new here. I didn't know about the education system here and the disability support system here. So I thought school is the best place to start with. So I was working as a, I started working as an education assistant. So it's been six, seven years now. So I left all my life before and then start working at school. So from that school, I think I learned a lot. I learn a lot, and then in a daily basis, I work with children with a disability because I work as a special need EA. So from there, I think I gain knowledge and you might say a confidence to work to get more involved with people with disability. And currently, my son is nearly 20. So yeah, I think I just growing with him as well, like not only focusing on children, but people with disability in general.
Mm, that's wonderful. That sounds amazing, Fanny. I suppose we've already touched on your community. You said there's not much talk.
Not much, yes.
And not much knowledge there. But do you think there's also some stigma attached to disabilities in your community, or is your community quite open to in general, not just here in Perth, but in general, maybe even back home, is it a welcoming culture towards people with disability?
Oh, absolutely. I think if I might say this as my own identity as an Indonesian, which is based on my own experience back then, before we moved here. Like, that is so difficult even just to get a professional who really understand about this area. There is no information whatsoever, no support in education, like inclusivity back then. But talking about the current situation, like within Indonesian community here in Perth, in my experience, again, it's just based on my experience, I still feel that there is like a not really openly discussed. It's still a reluctant from my community to share. So that's why I'm very determined to like to start the conversation, to roll the conversation. Like, yeah,
it's fantastic.
The support is there, and then the system is not that hard to navigate, you know, something like that. So it is still like not something openly discussed in in a public area.
Yes,
you might say. Yeah,
and that's, I suppose, what our listeners who have been listening to every podcast will notice. That's kind of like the theme, you know, in our Celt communities. A lot of the people are not comfortable in talking and discussing, but starting the conversation will make a huge change. And so we're glad that people are listening to you guys, and so glad that you guys are sharing your stories. And so then, from all of that, how did you come to know about KIN, or what brought you to KIN?
So I think it's just beginning of this year when my son finished school that I have a thought like, maybe I want to get more involved in a disability world, not specifically at school. So I was searching, and then by the power of social media, actually, I found KIN. It's just showing on my my news feed. And I said, oh, okay, this is what I actually looking for. Like the organization, which is not really sounds very formal, because again, I have no experience. I have no qualification in that area, but I'm willing to learn about this world, this support system. So yeah, why don't I just ring them and find out what it is? So that's my first met with KIN, beginning of the year, maybe, or around Easter time.
You see, the power of social media.
The power of social media.
And just, I suppose, any final words that for any of the listeners, you know, they might be people with a disability themselves. They might be carers like you. They might just be people interested to know about the lives of people with disability. What would you like people to take away from our interview today?
I think bottom line is, regardless of what disability is, it sounds like horrible label, honestly. Like some people say, I don't want to label my child. I don't want to, like, it's the thing for me, it's not the label. Especially if you're talking like autism, it's like, it's a neurological condition, you know what I mean? It's just not something physical disability. But first and foremost, we are just human, bottom line. People living with disability, they have their own struggle, they have their own challenging. So, but if we see them as a person and then we just want to support for them, you know, it's just nothing impossible. Because since I joined the KIN, I've started the conversation with my community. So I put on the community group, Facebook group and something like that. And then they came to me in private messages instead of just commenting on my posts. So from there, you can see that it's just still not comfortable for them to talk in a public area. I appreciate that. Everyone has their own time to be ready. And then no one forced them to get ready now. But what I'm telling them is, there is no time limit. Like, there is no, like, oh, it's too late. Even, like, let's say, as a carer, I can speak, like, they say, oh, my child's already 16. It's okay. 16, 6, or 26, or 36, or 46. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter as long as we want to learn the system. The assistance is there. Like Australia, in my opinion, has amazing system to support people living with disabilities. So again, they treat them as a human being, so they can live their life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And then it's just the opportunity that we give them. And then it's just a fair opportunity to everyone.
Mm.
I think it's just that the bottom line.
Thank you so much, Fenny. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing. I do have one more question, though.
Sure.
And it's as a result of your hard work mm-hmm. and your advocacy, self-advocacy efforts, what is your son up to now?
Yes, people always say that you are in a lucky situation, something like that. Like your son is accomplished so many things, but they didn't see, you know, all the journey, all the struggles, all the behind the door. It's never easy. And then I don't expect it's getting easier. I think it's just the way it is. It's just life. You know, life is always up and down. But I'm proud to say that he finished school.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the help of schools, he now managed to secure a permanency job in a big company.
That's fantastic.
And then, yeah, he loves his job. And then he also can enjoy life after job. So he's playing music.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's playing music. He has his own band. So, he has a gig here and there.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, I'm still...
Oh, you will have to share his gig so we can share it with the listeners.
Yes. Actually, he was invited by one of the organization last year to celebrate International
Day of
People with Disability.
Wow.
In Kings Park. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so he enjoyed his life. And
wonderful.
Then, yeah, I think, but still, again, I think it's just everyone's life is sometimes hard, sometimes easy. So we just tackle in a daily basis. But yeah, he's in a good mental state.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's what we like to hear. Thank you once
Thank
again,
you.
Fenny.
This has been a JM Podcasting Services production. Link in the show notes.